D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform.
After having created this baseball bat of a wall of separation, the ACLU for over 50 years has used it to beat Christians into submission and to silence them in the public square.
As we remember fallen heroes on Memorial Day, there are those working to tear down memorials with Christian symbolism.
The cross is a symbol of sacrifice, and the ACLU and some of these groups, the atheist groups, don't want there to be crosses. They don't want them to be in public. They want them taken down.
Thankfully, the tide is turning. We will give you an opportunity to turn it even more on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. On this Memorial Day weekend, we stop to remember and to give thanks for all those who have given their lives to defend America. We have inherited a great blessing from our forefathers, freedom. Something exceedingly rare in human history. That freedom comes to us from God, the source of all our rights, as they duly recognized. But in our secular age, our freedoms are eroding as God is pushed out of the picture by radical secularists. Thankfully, there is one recent Supreme Court decision that is literally monumental and could signal a turnaround. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Memorial Day is connected, obviously, to our veterans. And we are having just a slew of cases that we're having to defend because there's a lot of imagery connected with our veterans that are religious, like crosses, and Stars of David. You'll see these in cemeteries around the country and around the world that are U.S. cemeteries for our fallen heroes. It's littered throughout the history of our country. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. And the ACLU and some of these groups, the atheist groups, don't want there to be crosses. They don't want them to be in public. They want them taken down.
America has fought many wars to defend freedom on many fronts. And one of the most important liberties that countless Americans have laid down their life for is the freedom of religion. But I'll tell you that every GI who put on the uniform did so in part to uphold the right of his fellow Americans and the Americans that would follow him to have the freedoms that our Constitution was meant to preserve. And among the most important of those, the first liberty in our Constitution is the free exercise of our religion.
It's often been noted that it's the soldier that keeps us free. And sometimes when soldiers return from overseas, they'll build memorials to honor their fallen brethren. Some of these memorials include religious symbols, and that is anathema to groups like the ACLU or the American Humanist Association.
To have the constant attacks on religious liberty within the military is especially egregious. When they have our backs defending our religious liberty, the very least that we can do is stand up for them as well and take their backs in terms of being able to express themselves within the Corps as well. Why do we have secularists and atheist organizations in this country so intent on telling our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marine how to mourn, how to remember those that have fallen with them?
These attacks that we're seeing are not usually against the Muslim faith. They're not usually against the Buddhist faith. They're not against the Jewish faith. They're attacks against Christianity in particular. This approach of the ACLU, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, etc., is an attempt to really change our country to something it never was, and I hope never will be.
The secularist fight against religious symbols, such as memorial crosses, came to a showdown last year at the U.S. Supreme Court in a battle over a World War I memorial cross in Maryland, which an atheist group had sued to have removed.
In 1917, before most of you fighting men were born, our fathers fought the First World War to make the world safe for democracy, for the common man.
Well, the Bladensburg World War I Veterans Memorial has been there since 1925, when men with the American Legion dedicated that to 49 men from Prince George's County, Maryland, who died defending freedom. It was their mothers who designed that memorial back in 1919. They wanted a memorial to remember their sons who had sacrificed everything in service of this country. And they mimicked the design of the gravestones that their sons were buried under in Europe. And so it stood there without any complaint until about 5 years ago, when some atheist groups got together and decided that the presence of that memorial on public property is offensive and violating the Constitution. The Fourth Circuit has agreed with them.
An ironic twist in this case of the Bladensburg Cross is that originally it was constructed on private land, land which was acquired some 35 years later by the government through eminent domain so that the highway could be widened.
It's interesting, when this memorial was actually erected and dedicated, it was dedicated on property owned by the American Legion. And they've been the ones that have been maintaining it ever since then, really, until about the 1960s, when the highway had to be expanded. When the time came for that highway to be expanded, there was some discussion as to whether or not that memorial would stay there or not. And there was an outcry by the people of Bladensburg. Of course they were going to keep that memorial. That's how they remembered their sons who had gone off to war in Prince George's County and never came back. And so they refused to take it down and instead just built the highway around it. And it's been there ever since as a silent beacon of hope and memory to the men who died serving our country. These men had dedicated themselves in battle, they had dedicated themselves in war, and they preserved our freedom by sacrificing everything that they had. And so it falls to us right now to choose how we're going to remember them in the future. Their mothers wanted them to be remembered by this memorial. Men like John Henry Seaburn, an African-American soldier who served in a segregated unit during the war, died in service to his country in a segregated army, and yet he's right there unified with black and white soldiers on that memorial. That's an untold story in history.
In a recent video, First Liberty featured John Henry Seaburn's niece. She cherished the memory of the uncle she never knew.
He was in love with a girl across the street, and they planned to get married.
But John Seaburn sailed to France for the World War.
He was young, 16, went into the service, and never returned.
Nearly 100 years ago, a group of moms built this to memorialize the 49 lost boys of Bladensburg. But today, some people want to destroy it.
These are men that otherwise the world would not know anything about. But because they gave everything, they served this country faithfully, all they ask in return, or really all their mothers ask in return, is that we remember them by this memorial.
The other side said that this cross violates the Constitution because supposedly it establishes religion. But on June 20, 2019, the Supreme Court decided 7-2 that the cross can remain. This case was called American Legion, the American Humanist Association.
Well, the decision in the American Legion versus AHA was a landmark decision for religious liberty. When the court, in the majority opinion, said that religiously expressive monuments, symbols, and practices are now presumptively constitution, the court shifted the burden around and not only said that these veterans' memorials and like that are part of our history, part of our heritage, and are an important part of our country. No longer can someone just drive by, find themselves offended, and tear down the memorials through a lawsuit.
Writing for the majority, Justice Samuel Alito wrote, "A government that roams the land, tearing down monuments with religious symbolism and scrambling any reference to the divine will strike many as aggressively hostile to religion."
The court has now said that these types of memorials are part of our history. They're part of our heritage. We shouldn't be surprised that we have religious symbols and monuments in a country that has been a very religious country filled with a religious people. It's perfectly acceptable to have religious symbols and monuments interspersed with secular symbols and monuments throughout our country. I think the Supreme Court made a very good decision to say those are now going to be presumptively constitutional.
This victory is important, but it underscores how critical it is to place the right kinds of judges on the Supreme Court. The Constitution was given to us as a limit on government. And yet the Supreme Court has ruled in the past that a valedictorian cannot say a prayer at graduation. How did we get there? Through bad judges writing their own preferences into the Constitution. That's how. We are now seeing a slow turn in the right direction, but only after dozens of conservative judges appointed to the courts by President Trump. There are still more than 70 key vacancies on the federal bench right now, and there are fewer than 70 legislative days left for this Senate before the November elections. The situation really is urgent, and we have put together a petition calling upon your senators to act firmly and swiftly to fill these spots with solid, Constitution-respecting originalist judges before the election. Contact us right away to get your petition. Sign it and return it to us as quickly as possible so that your two senators will know that there are thousands of us standing together urging this action. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org to request your petition. Unfortunately, at the hands of secularists, our nation has been in the throes of national amnesia. But Memorial Day is a time of remembrance, remembering those who have given their lives for our freedom, and remembering the foundations of our freedoms. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with more.
As a nation, we are suffering a severe case of national amnesia. As President Woodrow Wilson said, if we do not remember who we were, how can we know what we are supposed to be? And we don't remember. For example, one history textbook used in our schools today tells about the Pilgrims landing at Plymouth and the Mayflower Compact. And they quote the Mayflower Compact, which says, as you all know, it says that we have undertaken a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Now, that's what it says, isn't it? That's what it says according to one of the textbooks used in our schools. But that's not what it really says. You see, they omitted several phrases without even ellipsis. And here they are. In the name of God, amen. That's where it starts. And this is how it continues. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, a journey to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Did they denude it of all spiritual meaning? Absolutely, totally, systematically, the religious character of our nation has been expurgated from our textbooks and expunged from our national memory. But Daniel Webster said, finally, let us not forget the religious character of our nation, because if that is forgotten, everything else will collapse, and we will have the kind of immorality sweeping across this nation today like a vile flood that we see on every side, every kind of vice and sin imaginable. Our fathers were brought hither by their veneration for the Christian religion. They journeyed in its light and labored in its hope. They sought to incorporate its principles with the elements of their society and to diffuse its influence through all their institutions, civil, political, or literary. Did you notice that? These were not pietists who felt that religion ought to be kept in the sanctuary. The principles of religion should be diffused through all of the institutions of our society. Let us cherish these sentiments and extend their influence still more widely in the full conviction that it is the happiest society which partakes in the highest degree of the mild and peaceful spirit of Christianity. Thus spake Daniel Webster. Well, this was the nature of this nation. And what has happened? How have we sunk so far? Well, dear friends, in 1947, a man by the name of Leo Pfeffer, an ACLU lawyer, knowing that there was a case before the Supreme Court called the Everson case, wrote an opinion. And in this opinion, he inserted the phrase, a wall of separation between church and state. That had never been in our jurisprudence before. He placed the opinion on the desk of Hugo Black. He read it and liked it. He was a very liberal judge. He ran it up the flagpole, and by 5-4, it passed. And for the first time in 1947, the idea of separation of church and state entered into our law. Now, this has nothing to do with our Constitution. There are many people who think that it does. They think that it's part of the Constitution, part of the Bill of Rights, that it's the First Amendment. It is not true. As I've often said, the First Amendment fails to mention a wall. It fails to mention separation. It fails to mention the church, and it fails to mention the state. Other than that, they were pretty close. It has been disastrous after having created this baseball bat of a wall of separation. The ACLU for over 50 years has used it to beat Christians into submission and to silence them in the public square, so that we constantly hear that. Now, you'll notice that what the First Amendment says, and note the subject of both clauses, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or, parenthesis, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The subject of both clauses is Congress. What does it say about what you can do? What does it say about what I can do? What does it say about what we can do? Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. It talks about what the Congress can't do. You see, the whole purpose of the Bill of Rights, and this again is probably not taught in our schools, the whole purpose of this was to tie down this great Leviathan, or to change the metaphor, this Gulliver that now had been created upon our shores of the federal government, which some of the founders believe was a great threat to the liberties of the people, which is the reason they came here. Washington, for example, Patrick Henry, another, and others refused to sign the Constitution of the United States unless there was a guarantee that there would be a Bill of Rights protecting the rights of the people from the government. And they got it. Says nothing about restraining churches, Christians, Jews, Muslims, anybody else, pastors, anything like that. It only says what the Congress can't do. But you see, it's a vague, rather amorphous phrase, separation of church and state. When a little boy in the fifth grade was reading his Bible at recess, and a teacher snatched him up by the ear and hauled him into the principal's office, she took the Bible and threw it in the wastebasket and said, "That's where garbage like that belongs. You are violating the principle of separation of church and state." Well, now, he didn't know all about that. What was he going to say? His parents didn't probably understand it either. Suppose she had said, "You are violating the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Johnny was probably a pretty smart boy. He might have raised his hand and said, "But principal, in case you hadn't noticed, I'm not the Congress." You remember a couple of years ago, we had a National Day of Prayer, and Christians were meeting, as they have for many, many years, in the community room in the city hall. And the president of the Florida chapter of the ACLU wrote a column printed by our newspaper that said this was unthinkable, unconscionable, that we had prayer, in a public building. He would have said, "Oh, dear God," but he probably didn't believe in God. Such a thing as this could not be allowed to happen. It violates the principle of the separation of church and state. And people say, I guess so. Can't have that. When are we going to wake up? Folks, when our religious freedom disappears, all other freedoms follow soon after. Let us remember who we were, that we might know who we ought to be.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, religious freedom is our first and most foundational freedom. But federal judges have been engaged in a decades-long project to rewrite our Constitution from the bench, banishing God and enacting radical and immoral social policies. The tide has begun to turn, but only because President Trump has been able to appoint scores of judges who adhere to the original meaning of the Constitution. But there are still more than 70 vacancies remaining on the federal bench, and fewer than 70 legislative days left in the Senate before the November elections. It's absolutely urgent that these vacancies be filled with constitutional conservatives. We have put together an emergency petition to your two senators, calling upon them to confirm the president's appointees for these vacancies without any further delay. Please contact us right away to get your petition to your senators. Sign it and return it to us right away so that we can join your voice together with thousands of others. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And if you are also able to include a generous donation to help us continue the work of this ministry, we will thank you by sending you a three-pack of the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What is Judicial Tyranny? Our founders insisted we be ruled by laws rather than by men. But we now wait until late June every year to find out the unelected Supreme Court's new instructions for all of our lives. This is tyranny, pure and simple. And this booklet will equip you with arguments for engaging others in discussion. And you can give the extra copies to friends and family. That's a three-pack of the booklet, What is Judicial Tyranny? As our thanks for your generous donation. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we will send you the booklet three-pack plus the book, A Strong Constitution, What Would America Look Like If We Followed the Law? In this book, Robert Knight exposes the way liberal courts have turned the Constitution upside down and shows what a return to true constitutional principles would bring, including freedom and respect for human life. That's the booklet three-pack, What is Judicial Tyranny? As our thanks for your generous donation, and the booklet three-pack plus the book, A Strong Constitution, as our thanks for your donation of $40 or more. And whatever you do, please contact us right away to get and sign the urgent petition calling on your senators to fill the 70-plus vacancies on the federal courts with Constitution-respecting judges in this remaining term. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. during the recent pandemic, it was necessary to take certain steps to protect the public health. However, in the words of the father of our Constitution, James Madison, all men having power ought to be distrusted to a certain degree. During a crisis, when the government must exercise unusual powers, it can be difficult to know who is operating in good faith. It was good and proper, for instance, for civil leaders to decree a time when there would be no large gatherings of people. As long as churches were not singled out, this did not pose a religious freedom threat. However, as former Obama Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel once said, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. The pandemic, in some cases, became the cover for arbitrary and unreasonable exercises in government power. In Louisville, Kentucky, Democratic Mayor Greg Fisher banned so-called drive-through church services for Easter Sunday. In such a service, families would have remained in their individual cars for the whole outdoor service, posing a virus risk to no one. Thankfully, a federal judge, appointed by President Trump, issued an injunction overruling Mayor Fisher. In a withering decision, U.S. District Court Judge Justin Walker wrote, "On Holy Thursday, an American mayor criminalized the communal celebration of Easter. The mayor's decision is stunning, and it is beyond all reason unconstitutional." This coronavirus will not be the last such crisis of our time. During such an event, we Christians owe our obedience to the government, as Paul noted in Romans chapter 13. But we must also remain vigilant to check the power of those who would use a crisis to subvert the ultimate civil law of our nation, the Constitution. And we must not give up our God-given freedoms in exchange for Orwellian growth of government draped in shallow promises of protection. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We need to become knowledgeable about what was given to us, and we need to become active in supporting it.
Simply not wanting a conservative originalist to be appointed. Why? Because abortion is their number one agenda.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.